talk about the what we call the non-technical, the inner logic, or the inner philosophy. Which basically, this is where mostly we talk about in Buddhist philosophy and in Buddhism. We can talk about field of knowledge in terms of metaphysics or logic, and we can talk about the field of knowledge in terms of the language and grammar. So these are the fields, five fields of knowledge we can talk about.
That in the year the in the repenting of nani any that tongue of that any around the tag we had nandi repotent that so chalveris.
Of these five fields of knowledge, the one which we are dealing with and which is in a sense personally relevant, if you will, is that of what we call the Nangdeng Rigpa, science of the inner knowledge, or the knowledge about inner reality. Why is that so important for each of us is because methods or practices or the means with which we can subdue our mind, those methods become really very important to us. The other four fields of knowledge, such as medicine or the metaphysics and others, they are somewhat what we call dependent upon, of course that needs explanation, on the knowledge of inner reality, or to be simple, on Buddhism. What I think Geshe-la is trying to get here is, there is a connection or association between the five fields of knowledge. And otherwise, often what seems to be happening is people who say that I am interested in Buddhism or the knowledge of inner reality or the science of mind, the Tibetan word term is Nangden Rigpa, they feel like as if that is just an isolated field of knowledge in itself, as if it has no connection or relationship with other fields of knowledge. But that's not the case. All the fields of knowledge are related in some way to one another, particularly the knowledge of inner reality.
That country is in around that to no doing around so that they do in chagas. Could they do in the Dewa town and the domain of Sata? He never the Koreans that take some alone. You said, look at the younger, same with only one of us.
Why is the knowledge of inner reality or Buddhism very important to us? There could be many reasons, but one of which is that we experience what called happiness and suffering, or pleasures and unpleasures. And these feelings which we experience or which we go through, they arise within our mind. So that's why mind is a very important thing to be studied and to be understood.
Pena maranzo ta sin de gangs chawas na mendu dawa tik chawas na mendu pena ndu chaki nyema tik chaw kar chegu na lu tang na tang lu na de chawani be kar chegu na te ngaba de ta sin ne te gung dwas.
Mind is forerunner of all our actions. We can think of all the things we have planned to do this year, or this particular month, or this particular week, or this particular day. And so most of the things that we do involve physical and verbal actions. But the physical and verbal actions, where do they come from? What initiates them, if you will? Then we know that mind is a forerunner of all our body and speech actions. So in that sense also, the mind is a primary factor or a phenomenon that needs to be investigated and that needs to be understood. So we can all investigate, and we should, as a matter of fact, is there anything that we do physically and verbally which has nothing to do with our state of mind? Okay, is there anything that we can bodily do or verbally do that has nothing to do with our mind?
Mechanic.
So as you heard Geshe-la use the words, like mechanics or whatever professions that we are involved in, such as mechanics or, business, or that, music, and arts and crafts, whatever that, we are doing, is that something that has no relationship or association with our state of mind? And it couldn't be. All the things that we do are related with our way of thinking and our state of mind.
Teaching that democracy, human rights, everything, environment to be good. Everything, whatever we, good or bad things, whatever we did or does. I see the same thing there is.
So we can talk about the political ideologies like democracy or whatever, and so all the things that we do, as this is trying to say, is everything has it originates from our mind and it has a relationship with our state of mind.
So that same zambu tan same yakbo yunate gechibu chagyoris.
So if mind is a key player in all these things we do, well, then it is really important that the mind should be in a good state, in a positive state, because it runs the whole show.
So the thing is that the same day that run the same day that shall the somebody teach which happened to us.
And it is in this regard that it's really important for us to learn about the techniques or the methods or the practices to transform our mind into positive and to subdue our mind, to work with our negative state of mind and, get rid of them. Because if our mind is in a positive state, then, as Geshe-la was giving all these different examples, the whole show will become a really positive show, I think. If the mind is in a different state, then all the things we do could become, the same thing.
That can take any sense of the world.
And so all the things taught by historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, which are altogether referred to as Buddhism or Buddha Dharma or signs of the mind or whatever, but basically all the things Buddha taught are nothing but the means or the methods with which we could use to make our mind better, to transform our mind.
So
I think many things that we do in this lifetime, as a matter of fact, this life experiences could be good, indicators of what I'm talking about, that all the things that are going well with us, you know, in terms of maybe, you know, going, things running smoothly, we have whatever amount of happiness or pleasure or peace or harmony, and all the things just going the way we want to. I think all of the, you know, if we really examine them, those things are, due to the positive way of thinking and positive state of mind. And all the things go wrong in our life, that we don't succeed in what we do, that we run into all kinds of troubles that we don't want to, that life really, you know, pretty much, you know, sucks at every end and corner of life, has, I think, to do with, negative way of thinking and negative, state of mind. So what we're really basically talking about here is, if our mind is negative, it is unruly, it is wild and crazy in a negative sense, then a lot of the experiences that we go through are negative, traumatic, you know all this anxiety provoking and
all of that.
But we also need to realize that at the moment we have found this wonderful opportunity to be able to affect our mind, our way of thinking, that if our mind is in a negative state, there's something we can do about it, that it doesn't have to be negative, it doesn't have to be in that particular state. There are ways or means with which we can change the negative state of mind into positive state of mind. So that's why it's so important for us to learn about the methods to bring about a positive inner transformation, positive way of thinking. Of course, it's not something that we have to blindly believe in, that, you know, negative mind can be changed into positive mind by certain method X, Y, Z. But, you know, such things are grounded in a good rationale, you know, valid reasonings. So we need to basically educate ourselves in the ways and the means with which we can affect our way of thinking, we can, change the negative way of thinking and cultivate a positive state of mind. We must also be able to see the possibility that negative state of mind can be changed into positive state of mind. But do not in somewhere get locked in a very sort of a pessimistic negative state of mind, like, oh my God, that can be done, you know, I can't do it, you know, sort of thing, and undermine our own abilities. Because the fact of the matter is that our negative thoughts which arise in our mind, they are temporarily there. You see, they are not there for permanent, you know. And they are, as a matter of fact, not in the very nature of our mind. Okay, they are just kind of sort of like, they manifest on the surface of our mind, and they're there for a while, and then they are not there for a while. What that really tells us is that we could affect our state of mind, and we can change it, you know, positively. In other words, that what I'm trying to get across to you here is that the negative thoughts or negative beliefs in our mind are not the one and the same thing as our own state of mind. Okay, they are different. And they could be separated from one another. And we really need to be able to see that possibility, because that is where the hope is. That is where the success lies. And one of the examples that we often use here is, it's just like, you know, our mind got dirty, like our clothes we wear for a while and they need to be washed. Okay? The dirt and the stains of our clothes are not one and the same thing. That's why we do laundry, right? We don't do laundry to lose the clothes. You know, we just do laundry to wash the dirt and we get back the clean clothes. So like that, we, you know, purify our mind of negativities, and then what we really get in return, if we think, is the pure state of mind, is a positive state of mind. We can be very confident about that, that we could separate the negativities from our state of mind, and we can, you know, change our mind into something positive. And so we have many great examples, and all the, you know, how to say, beings respect. We, you know, we call them sublime beings or the holy beings and all of that. Well, to begin with, they were not born holy, so to speak. There was a time, if you look back in their lives, they were just an ordinary person like us, equally deluded, you know, maybe equally crazy and whatnot. But what happened was, they made a decision to affect their, you know, way of thinking, change their way of thinking. And they followed the path and practices to change their mind into something positive and improve their state of mind. And going through that whole process, there is whole developments which took place, and they progress on what we call spiritual paths and spiritual grounds. So the higher the spiritual path and grounds, the holier they are, or the more holy they are. Okay? And why are they holy? Why are they realized? And why their life is much better? Because they brought about positive changes in their life. And because they could do it, that also indicates that we could do the same thing. Okay, that gives us also the, you know, the hope. And basically, maybe if we can think in terms of differences between ourselves and these holy beings on different levels of realizations, their mind, relatively speaking, has less negativities. Perhaps some of them even don't have at all. All those who do have, they have, you know, much less negativities than we do in our mind, because they worked with their mind and they got rid of a lot of negativities from within their mind. And we could do the same thing as we follow this gradual path of purifying our mind of negativities and cultivating a positive way of thinking and positive qualities.
And Dordina, Maranzo, any? Tabata tangi chibi gomba toji yabate junsin ta ani ate junsin ta ani pe yanda me yabate ni ani kuba usu tin re min duwas re ya mares jesa maran so tabata tangi chibi gomba toji yabate juntan ta junsin ta demba ani te junsin sa mai be ani ta pe ani ta yanda ba chin ndesine to ni hingin da basta desam tongre.
So what I'm trying to get across to you here this, is this, that we are striving for nirvana or liberation from samsara or cyclical existence. We are striving for complete enlightened state, you know, for our own sake and for the sake of all other beings. And all those goals are achievable. We could achieve them. They are not some kind of fantasy goals we have set for ourselves. And they could be achieved. And if we study the whole structure of the path and the possibilities that we have, that some of the things I'm just starting to talk about, that we can change our mind into positive, that we can separate the negativities from our state of mind. So all these things provide us the reasons and the grounds to believe in the effectiveness of what we are doing, if we follow certain pattern practice, this will help us to improve ourselves, you know. And as we improve ourselves more and more, we are getting closer and closer to liberation, closer and closer to complete enlightened state. So these are not some kind of conjectures and a fantasy world kind of Geshe didn't say that, but probably he wouldn't mind. It's a Disney world we created. It's not. It is based upon sound reasoning and methodology and and the complete structure of the path.
Nonetheless, that in reality, so that then around so checking is here the case. Kyochin shiya de tanda kiya kiduris, kyo tanda kiya kiduris, tanda kiya ne te nyamsu lengu goris, nyamsu la nene, rangyul yobu jiva tuzu ta nene, nima kinta, ane tabi kompa ta goris.
So as I often emphasize the importance of education, spiritual education in our life, that's where all things begin, if you will. That in order to practice spirituality, in order to bring about positive changes within ourselves, first we need to educate ourselves, you know, in terms of how can we do that, you know, what are the means and the methods to do that. So coming here together is, traditionally called study, or this is, in a modern sense, is going through education. And so education, its objective is to learn about the paths and practices. So once we learn about them, of course, the next level and more important part is to adopt the paths and practices, or to cultivate them within our mind, and it is through practice that we are able to transform ourselves into better and better human being.
That, cousin Chirang Yama, then the signal. Only that could be my son, because I'm the human, give it any to talk, some of the goings. That wrong. Mune tu rana lam tengking ke, lam tengking ke tar gevi shinyi te, ranju ki nyeba te, nyeba kari na te, nyeba yueba te, nyeba te nduksi nisu tuyene, tili ane pe, kata challenge, kati chaya ke, nyebu tenya ke, tar tap tengking chale, ane gevi shinyi chosuki garis.
Going back to where we left off, last week, and some of the things Geshe-la explained is the best spiritual guide or a spiritual mentor, guru, or lama in Tibetan, is one who brings out one's own mistakes, or the way we put it is like who pinpoint our weaknesses, where we need to grow. Okay, so that kind of teacher is considered as the best kind of spiritual teacher. So what such spiritual teachers do is that they would point at all the weaknesses and mistakes that we are making, then also provide us the antidotes to correct ourselves or to counteract our negativities. And those are the what we call the, exemplary, if you will, spiritual mentors.
That forming runs a home of the jeweler. Never carrying, never trying to do it. This is you, this is a shame to yours, and so the shame is a turning. And the pub, why are the that temper, that you can show to the calories.
In other words, what we're talking about here is, exemplary or the, best of the spiritual mentors. What they would do is they would tell honestly to their students or the disciples that, this is where your thinking is gone wrong. Okay, this is where, the way you are thinking is negative, it is diluted, and this is what you need to get rid of, and this is the methods or the antidotes with which you can bring about the changes, within yourself. And I don't think there would be such spiritual mentors who would say this kind of stuff, if they see that the students are gone wrong in terms of their actions or way of thinking, whatever, they say, that's all right, I'll just give it a blessing and you should be fine. Well, I mean, that doesn't work that way, and shouldn't be saying that, I'll bless you in some mysterious way and you are just, fine and become a fine human being. No.
덴디 랑킹 연도 커버 말이지.
And I don't think that would be Jesus saying that.
다 되지. 다 되지. 기회 괜히 줘 되지. 다 기회 괜히 그 덴디 그 당하고 줘도 가르래지. 아니 청도 좀 배반이지. 시행 토할 배 소수 있는 동시 많이 있는 자니 교회 있는 자니 다 랑크 시행들 배 포 토야지 그다 누구나. 다티니 다랑 당아 교주가 차그랬어. 어 다티 베소스 논트데 논트데 하코네. 들 노이마데 하코네. 다티 방궁도 삼바지 숑비나. 다티 당아 교 차그랬어.
So best teachers are those who are honest in telling their students or disciples where they are not doing the things properly and where they're doing the things correctly. And of course, the best instruction, we would say, dhamma, or the advice, or teaching, is telling the students where they really need to improve themselves. So metaphorically speaking, this is what we call hitting the target. The target is set up there in the student's mind where things need to be changed and improved. And here, the instruction or the advice or the teaching is given, which really hits the target, right the dot, on the dot, say, this is what, should happen, And the best friends are mindfulness and introspection. Of course, we can talk about friends in two different ways. Good friends and the bad friends, or the spiritual friends in the sense of positive, who influence us positively, or evil friends, who bless us in a negative way,
So the tongue around you.
Friends are those who are supportive and who help us, when we need their help. Good friends are those who stand by us at the time of difficulties, who provide us help to deal with issues and difficulties, and if they have the ability to solve our problems, they do that, and who basically, help us to refrain from doing the wrong things and negativities, and keep us on the track of doing the positive and the beneficial and good things.
That talking about singing them, church, Tim to the church, Tim to any long bit to me or any of us. That thing you can give up, any round the same military rank in the thing, Tim, church, Tim to give up, long bit to me, that the lady is.
Bad friends are those who make us break the laws and rules of the country, or like from spiritual point of view, who make us break our vows and commitments and do all kinds of unethical things. So such people who make us do those things or influence us negatively in such way, those are what we consider bad friends.
So
of course, if we keep ourselves in the company of good friends, then I think things will work better for us. Tibetans have a saying, I don't know how it works in my translation at least, but it's the metaphors. We say that if you are going to lean on, so to speak, a gold mountain, then there's a hope that some of the gold might just, pieces might get onto your body and you get some pieces of gold. But if you kind of stick your head or into poisonous plants, then what you get is a poison. It's time to die, I think. No, poison oak. So this is like, you know, how we have to be careful when we go for a walk or some in the forest that we don't get into poison oak, right? And so that's kind of thing we're talking about here. So what is being said here is that, of course, in terms of spiritual developments and, you know, being spiritually positive, our best friends are just two, mindfulness and introspection. Mindfulness is a state of mind. As a matter of fact, it is a mental factor. That enables us to stay on whatever the thing we are doing. So, in terms of meditation, mindfulness helps us to keep our mind, you know, focused on our object of meditation. And it doesn't let go the object of meditation. That's why we are connected with the object of meditation. We are staying with it. Our mind is not distracted because we are being mindful of what we are meditating on. And if our mind, as we are meditating on a positive thing, if our mind is getting distracted, things that shouldn't be following, like whatever the distractions, maybe some physical noises is there or some, you know, kind of sound, then we have to bring our mind back to our object of meditation.
That chambers, I think.
Mindfulness serves two functions, if you will, or two purposes. One is same Shiva, it makes our mind, I'm literally translating here, peaceful, Shiva, and same Durva, it subdues our mind. So it has those two functions in making our mind peaceful and subdued.
Durva is the person.
Subdued in the sense of how our mind, it does not follow distractions, distractive thoughts. You know, it doesn't follow after the hustle and bustle kind of life. It just kind of stays subdued within its own parameters, you know, stay focused on the object of meditation. So mindfulness enables us to stay focused on our object of meditation, and introspection helps us to, you know, find out whether our mind is staying on the object of meditation or whether it is being distracted by something else. So introspection is like a spy, and it's just spying on the mind. And to find out whether any particular kind of a delusion or negative afflictive emotion is arising in our mind, disturbing us, then it catches that. It's a spy. It should notice that. Or that our mind is really not meditating, but now it is wandering elsewhere. Then the introspection should tell us that, so that we can bring our mind back, you know, to ourselves and to put it on the object of meditation.
When
we are doing meditation, introspection should tell us two things: whether our mind is being distracted by excitement, okay, or that our mind is affected by what we call laxity. Laxity and excitement, or mental dullness and mental agitation, these are two other terms used, are the obstacles in meditation. So introspection should tell us, this spy should inform us whether our mind in meditation is affected negatively by laxity and excitement. And for details, you can refer to Lamrim treatises. Lamrim is a Tibetan term meaning stages of the path, and there is a whole genre of Tibetan Buddhist treatises or the literature called Lamrim. And if you look within the section dealing with concentration or samadhi, then you will find the details about the things I'm talking about. If we are going to do good meditation, or the meditators must, you know, have mindfulness and introspection. Without these two good friends, you just can't handle meditation. We can't do meditation.
Rāna kūma tōngkī kī chōtu chūpa sīrīsdā, anē rāna nyāpa chīngu gātā, gētā, anē nāsātā, rāna nāsā yōngvātā, rāna dōngkī yōngvātā sā cāngmālūtā, rāna kūchā tōngkī kī tā chōtu chūpa chīrīsdā.
Now, who are or what are the best motivators? You know, kūchā tōngkī, the one who motivates us to do our practice. That is the whole range of things here. Our enemies, all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of obstacles we face in our life. And so these are good motivators. You know, they really motivate us to do our practice.
Yeah, that's it. Samalo. Shaitan is going to call Duba Rabas. Yes.
In a conventional sense, these are not good stuff or good things, right? I mean, who wants enemies and who wants obstacles in life? You know, who wants sicknesses? But from some other perspective, looking at these things, these could, they do play, you know, some good roles. You know, they could motivate us in a positive way. So when we run into all these obstacles and, you know, sicknesses and pains and troubles and, you know, all the things we go through, enemies, then this should really help us to think about our spirituality, because spirituality provides us the ways and the means to really deal with them and and finally to really get rid of them. So true practitioners, you know, who have trained their mind in a right way, when the misfortunes befall them, you know, it's almost time to say, as Geshe was almost trying to demonstrate, that they fold their hands and say, thank you very much, you know, just come on, just come on me, I'm just ready.
So.
Okay, so I mean, you just don't say thank you out of blue, right? There should be certain context, you know, and it's almost like you engage in interpersonal communication here. Said, you know what, you're just talking to the sicknesses, obstacles, and, you know, XYZ. Said, you know what, it's very nice that you came to me, you know, and otherwise I would have lost myself completely in doing other stuff, and I wouldn't remember spirituality or Dharma at all. But because of you, then now I become very aware of my spirituality, and you're really helping me to transform myself into better and better. So therefore, now we know, you see, we can say thank you, right? Because we are benefited by this, so I thank you.
You know? lāma chepa nāna dungās mūndē dungē chātā mbhar chūsāns mūndē kī dungē tā rīk chāpa tōng nāng kī rāng tōla shūma kī nās lēngē nrīb sēbī jūrn tō nēs rāng kī lēng ngāmbā hēmā sā sēmbī tēnzū kī pē tā rīb sēbī jūrn tō nēs rīk tī pā mēbā zōyā kē tā jū rāng shūnga tī hā kōpa shēn anī jēngē lāmbā lōng jēngē jēng ngāmbā tē anī lāng zāngbō kī tā yōngā tē Ani,
As we find it stated very explicitly in Guru Puja, we call Lama Treba, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory where it says, Mindu dunge chada bhagyuja, when the unwanted pains and troubles and suffering, you know, pour down on us like a torrential rain, we don't want that at all. Lengen debu sebe jurdhane, may I be able to see that by my experience of all these misfortunes, that what I'm really seeing is putting an end to my negative bad karmas. You see, I'm seeing, you know, this positive thing. So with that kind of a perception, bless me to be able to take the adverse conditions and factors into conducive factors for improvement.
Yeah. Yeah. Lozhan tundi maka nandu wasi. Pena rangla ane pe mende pe rik tundu ta, shungdi zan. Nga rangso le pena dne na sanrab dhiri shungwa yana ko pa traya dhiki dhu. Ane tola chaba pe yandab dhiri ta ta dhiri shigra wasi. Ta dhiri maja wa shayandi. Lozhan nyan le shayandi dhuzo ke churang ane nga dhan tang pe chaya ke tuji ches. Pena khunzu ngen pa chayani. Tandu ya tang ki shayandi dhuzan 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 dhiri shayandi. Ndu shayandi nangu yawari. Songchang nga rangso ta Tendesh ya kata semshu kembu kirada nga zo ta tang kangura wata yina ya lende za shiawe yina kirada penje kembu yungur wasa.
I mean, the things that I'm trying to explain to you is in some way it seems like against the conventional wisdom and the knowledge. You know, what usually when troubles befall us, what do we want? We just want to solve the problems. We don't want any bad things happening to us. You know, nobody really wish for the bad things happening to us, because that seems like, you know, something has gone wrong with our brain or something. Geshe-la didn't say that. But from the perspective of mind training, thought transformation, Lojong practice that we're talking about now, the really serious Lojong practitioners, when misfortunes befall them, you see, they really think, you know, whatever or whoever brought these things, you know, upon them. And what we usually do is we might, you know, send money to do prayers in a monastery or ask our gurus to do some blessing so that, you know, we don't have that whatever sickness we're suffering from and we, all that. But these practitioners are almost doing some, you know, sending prayers and rituals doing that, you know, thank you very much for bringing all these troubles to me and please accept these gifts and, you know, if you want, bring some more troubles. Okay, and that's what exactly we find with the practitioners of mind training, like the 7-point mind training practitioners. You know, they are so courageous and brave. Their way of thinking is like in some way unthinkable to most of us at this moment. You know, we may not have the same courage to say, you know what, bring on all the troubles on me, you know, but in terms of that mind training, and their practices, so they're able to do that. So maybe, hopefully, down the line, we're able to get the same kind of inspiration and learn the same kind of, you know, technique and, you know, courage.
That's what you said about your gongki, you know? Ane, dam halam te jengdwa, tena jitze lama tuji chi, majunto yi dhiti dungkwe, mali tata dala pimpa chos, dagi degi es, yin la tangwa yi, brokwi te ten tenpa shenji los. Maki shenji tan shi, ne te dungi, kandik yon tenzo rang tenu sum pimpa chos. Ane, rang la yon pe dishi, kandik yon tenzo tsama la shenji tangil pa pimpa chos, shenji tan shi debo te jibo yongwa chos, na dosi ne, halam jengdwa.
Those who are bent upon cultivating altruistic mind of enlightenment or bodhicitta, these are the bodhisattvas who are becoming bodhisattvas, who are bodhisattvas, they have so much courage to face difficulties, not only the difficulties, the personal difficulties, but they want to face the difficulties for the sake of the whole universe, if you like. And that's why we find very, you know, profound prayers And in many Buddhist literature, the text, and again, Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, where the whole practice is focused on saying, Dana Chidrin Lama Thugzhen in the Guru Puja, O precious, compassionate gurus, or the spiritual mentors, Manju Dhruva Thiri Dungakwe, may all the suffering and the negativities and the delusions of all mother sentient beings befall me, just bring them on me, Tala Nimbada. May all those negativities of other sentient beings, who all of who are my mothers, you know, ripen upon me, and in return, may all the good things that I have accumulated, my positive energy, positive karmas, you know, all the positive things, go to them and bring them the happiness that they are seeking. Okay? So this process or the practices, may all sentient beings be happy and, you know, well. Okay? So this is where, in other words, the serious practitioners of mind training are doing Tonglen practice, the practice of taking other suffering and its causes upon themselves and giving happiness and peace and their causes to others. This is what we call exchanging self for others, you see. And it's through that mind training they get inspiration and they get that courage, you know.
That's what you do, huh? No. Tabji chose.
And next it says, literally translating, best method. Now in this case it seems like the best attitude for me, is not to be, not to have hypocrisy. In other words, that when you cultivate compassion, great compassion for all sentient beings, wishing everybody to be free from their suffering and its causes, then you're really being honest with sentient beings, and you don't play, how should I say, you don't act here, you don't, you know, put on the facade of being kind and nice and compassionate, but behind that you are something else, you know, you don't do that. So having no hypocrisy is it's considered as part of a, you know, having a best method or attitude.
Mm.
Geshe-la feels that maybe we are able to understand this in two different ways. What does it mean, best method? Okay, upaya, Sanskrit word is tap. The one is I just explained, it could be understood in terms of the attitudes. In terms of compassion, that if you really truly cultivate great compassion for sentient beings, and for that matter, great love, then you are not going to be a hypocrite. You know, you're going to be really honest in your dealing with sentient beings. You are not going to, you know, show one face up front and then you have another attitude behind. Don't do that. But it could also be understood in terms of how integrating method and wisdom together. In other words, if we bring the bodhicitta, altruism, and the wisdom realizing emptiness together as an integrated method of wisdom and compassion or altruism, then that's the best method to cut through our self-grasping, grasping at self, grasping at phenomena.
Yes.
And the best help or benefit that we can bring to others is to inspire others in doing the positive things to bring them into spirituality, bring them into doing the right thing and the positive things. So that's what we call providing the best help or the benefit. So we can, translate the chö, dharma, in a very broad sense, like something doing positive. Okay, it doesn't have to be confined to a particular religious denomination, in a sense. It's like if you can, whatever people believe in, maybe they believe in, believers do believe in some kind of religion or spirituality. So there's something good about that. So you inspire them to follow that. Or the non-believers might have, they believe in something positive. They don't believe in religions. So what? But they believe in doing something positive, so it inspires them to do that. So that's what we consider as the, benefiting them in the best possible way. Tibetan term chö is a translation of the Sanskrit term dharma or dhamma in Pali, but it is it has many shades of meaning. It is a polysemantic term, so it has many meanings, and it could also, well, it means spirituality, one thing, but it could also mean just a phenomenon, something that exists and has its own identity. Okay, because every phenomenon, metaphorically speaking, seems to hold its own identity, whatever its identity is. So long as a phenomenon has that identity, it exists. But when it loses the identity, then it's not that phenomenon anymore. It may be something else. See? So the dharma or the chö, it could mean many things. In a general sense, I think when we talk about chö in a spirituality, it doesn't matter what label is given to that. It should be something beneficial to sentient beings, and it should not bring harm to others.
Okay.
So the next one is what it really means to that you have benefited someone, in the best possible way. Like, we could provide help to others, we try to bring benefits to others, but that's one thing. Whether they will be benefited or not is another totally different thing, right? So now we're talking about what does it mean that somebody is benefited in a best possible way. What that means is that if we can inspire someone into doing something positive, and then that really person is changed in that positive way, now stays the course, so to speak, now that's what we call that person is being benefited, in the best possible way. Remember that three great disciples or the students of Indian Master Adisha asked their teacher or the guru a series of questions. And we just only looked at one particular question, because they asked one question and then, Adisha started to give this whole elaborate answer, responses to them. And three disciples were Khuten, Molten, and Domtenpa, the three great realized disciples, as a matter of fact. So we have, we have completed one response to their question. So they asked, you know, what is the best, you know, path to be followed, basically. Then Adisha just comes with all this, you know, the best of this and the best of that and the best of this, and it's just a whole, I mean, list of what does best mean in a particular context, and that's what we completed. And then one of the three great disciples, Drumtenpa, he asked Atisha, what is ultimate dharma? And so we will go through Adisha's answer next time. And I once again would like to advise you that, of course, it's very wonderful that we are able to come together like this, and I'm trying to explain as best as I could things here, and you, I'm sure you're interested and come here. And so what's also important for all of us is the things we talk about, we really need to reflect on them. We need to contemplate and, you know, analyze the things, you know, we talk about here. When we talk about cultivating spirituality or being benefited by spirituality or dharma, to use that term, we get a real benefit if there is an inner transformation. So following dharma or practicing dharma is not like putting on some kind of costumes or an ornament. It's not the external thing that we can add onto our body, just put it on and then, you know, we look different. But practicing dharma and being benefited dharma really means is we have to cultivate the things we talk about and bring about inner changes, transformation. So when we participate in dharma, of course, I mean, everybody involved in this, the one who teaches dharma, the one who's listening to dharma, and probably I'll add myself, the translator, that we have to see that our mind is really involved in dharma. Okay, because we cannot, you know, let dharma be separated from our state of mind, because mind must be involved in what we are doing, and there should not be gap, or I mean, as less gap as possible between the dharma and our way of thinking.
Today is my translator here, Angela here. If you have questions, you can do through this
system.
Through the air, very difficult to do.
Go ahead.
My question is there a difference between a bad friend and an enemy?
Okay.
We use both words in
the context of our teachings. So enemy, of course, we cannot use the term friend, even in a good or bad sense with enemy. Enemies are not friends, you know, period. We can't talk about good or bad at all. They are not friends. Does that answer your question?
Gives me something to think about.
That's good.
Some of my old stresses.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
On the advice on the greatest nobility is to do it in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm reading too much into it, but seeing that nobility, and I don't know in the translation, maybe there's more in the original term, but nobility in terms of being recognized by other people and your accomplishments and all this stuff, compare that with subduing the mind where you don't respond to any of the outside things. Is there that relationship? Do you think that was implied in the...
With Mahendra, yes. Yeah.
I think you have to rephrase it. I think I must have missed something. I didn't get the complete... So, could you say one more time?
Like initially when I thought about it, was just mobility is something good, and subduing the mind.
Okay.
And where you just say like mobility is this whole ranking and people recognize you and respond to that, and then subduing the mind is the opposite of that. Where you don't respond to all these things that create an ability.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think there's this,
okay.
That was implied originally.
Okay. Following this is the work and the Karso bole mazo sem dyba se jor wa gen sem dyba se de da ane kozo nobility su de kan ki disme ro kes kozo kewen wol ne gol se sme ro si de kala da na chilo gi ne ta ken kalu chu man dile ya pa ken de ya kozo ma zo ina len de bu ma che chen ro wa so so chi rong zu sem de gol se dis gol se da sem dyba se de da nobility se ni de ta da kha kha im da su ni ko de dile de ro su ma
nobility se na ka se
How was the nobility, I mean, defined in words about the text or, you know, you read?
Oh.
Nobility?
Yeah.
Well, why is this so?
Okay. I just saw it in the small booklet.
Okay.
It nobility. I don't know the word that you used. So that's the phrase of the...
Hello there. How I say, Kevin and the child of Yubadi, and the same did it again. Okay, here's the, I'm reading, the highest nobility is in subduing your own mind, so run the same and yon stupa sayadi, taka so ngazan, Kevin and the same again.
Nobility is in shawalif in marimai.
No.
Kosu zuri jayak shawalif in marimai.
Nobility is in marimai. Remember, taka ngazan, same Yubadi, Kevin and the child of Yubadi, and the yor, but I'm not sure. No.
Is it?
Because I'm just trying to find out whether in the Tibetan text somewhere, or what would be, because I don't have the Tibetan text, what was the original word, so I'm just trying to explain to him, is there such thing as where we use the word, you know, the highest nobility, the word I use as a virtue, is subduing your own mind. Is there such a statement somewhere? And Gisela says, yeah, there are. But we say subduing one's own mind is perhaps we might say the highest or the best virtue in some sense.
And then you should say, so see, so you saw a kaliki in there, give me a kaliki in there, same thing you go, yes. Same thing I wouldn't do in there. I would do in any. So, any sympathy, give it shower shawl matamiki, shower shawl government. So,
what I was explaining to you before was that if we subdue our mind, let's say we bring about positive transformation in our mind, then almost all the actions that follow, physical and verbal actions, will accordingly become positive. So, in that sense, our actions become noble in that sense. You know, whatever we do, we're not going to do anything negative, you know, anything destructive, because of our positive state of mind. So things we think about, things we say, things we do, all will be noble in that sense.
Okay. Well, now come.
Yes, please. Yeah.
I was reading the Lam Rim and I got very upset or confused because we're always being taught that all sentient beings are the same. We shouldn't have any distinction between enemies, friends, and
sure. Okay.
Always.
Yeah.
And that's our goal.
Yeah.
And yet, if you touch the hair of an arhat and hurt it, you suffer horrendous punishments and eternal hells. And if you kill your father, it's so much worse than killing, you know, your enemy. And how can that equality, how can all these people and the punishment is so more, much more different?
Sure. Okay. Kunang lamrim lode kan liya dinesh di moran jisem na la kal so da des ma ding ru shung kal se de kan la chwa jin ni si de kan la ya sin jen tham je liya chang ye pa zum ye wa me bsin ni ti pa lu shung ko se ro wa gen chang ye pa che ji yo ma les ya chwa jin ni si de kan la pe na ta chang bo gi ani la ka so da ta chang bo gi hu da yin ji sto de pi gal ni mi sam di di ko ta chum shi bu se des dan pa wa se bi na
但其他密密码塞不勒，你不咋去个事？这超前的事，这机关也不就了。像超前的事，这别个卡卡一点的，现在这能力。反正米南的金钱用不多吧？是。然后金钱用不多吧？是。现在的计划吧？是。阿里提起来的。啊，I think the way we, I mean, should understand that is, you know, generally speaking, let's say they are in respect, all human beings are same.
But then in terms of like, you know, people who have been extremely kind to you, and those who have not been that kind or not kind at all, so at that level we can also differentiate people, right, who have been very kind to you and who are not. You know, so the thing is that the one who has been most kind to you, whether that's your mom or dad or whoever the case may be, from that point of view, because of how much they have benefited your kindness, so the negativity we do, because that's what we're talking about, right? If you kill your mom or dad or something, then that is more negative than killing, you know, another, you know, stranger who is also a human being. Because in terms of the kindness, because of the so much benefit they have provided to us, so if we do something negative, it almost becomes too ungrateful, and the negative, the intensity of the negativity is greater. And in relation to the arahats, or those who are realized beings, when we do something negative to them, why that becomes much more serious negativity than doing the same negative thing to any other XYZ person who are not arahats, is because, again, the negativity we do becomes more intense because of their realizations. They are such a holy and realized being that the negativity we create in relation to them, the intensity picks up, you know, due to their who they are, you know, as a realized being. So it's like, you know, if you kill a holy man, that's more negative than you killing, you know, just an ordinary person. And also like, maybe I think this example might perhaps I think come easier to you, that if you kill a bodhisattva who is a true bodhisattva, that is so negative as compared to killing just an ordinary person who is not a bodhisattva, because bodhisattva benefit sentient beings so much, they care about. So if we destroy this one person, then that is negatively affecting all these millions or whatever, countless people who are being benefited this one person. So that negativity becomes very intense, you know. That's easy, right? I understand, see. Yeah. So the example Geshe-la gives is like, you know, you just kill the bread earner of the family, mom or dad. Now the whole family suffers because nobody, you know, knows how to make a living. You know, that's what it is. It's affecting so many people, you know, or the beings. In a tanya, okay. In this case, all the spirituality that we cultivate maybe should come handy in the sense that we are being more patient and more caring for the person, you know, how much difficulties we go through. But it's very difficult to sit, I mean, if we are thinking in terms of how can we benefit this person mentally or try to affect some positive change, maybe that's very difficult, depending upon their situation and their seriousness, you know.
But
So having said that, so we may not be able to help, you know, such a mentally disabled person, depending on the seriousness of their, you know, mental disability, to bring some positive changes in their mind. But maybe our spirituality should help us and become handy in terms of how much we put up with this person and care for this person, never give up. And also, Geshe-la suggests that maybe if we recite mantras or do something positive, these positive things could leave positive imprints on their mind. Well, you know, because nobody is disabled for many lifetimes, you know. In this life, maybe they are the disabled one, because next life, who knows, right? So in the next life, these positive imprints in their mind could be activated, you know, by their own actions, and then they could progress. So we still, you know, keep on doing something positive, saying something positive to them. Okay, yeah. Yes, please.
So if you have a friend or a person that creates negative emotions in you when you're around them, makes you feel irritated or angry or impatient, would you say it's better to not be around that person at all if you have that choice, or to look at them and think you need to work on your patience and your practice? Or just eliminate that source of suffering.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. He said, okay. Geshe-la said he understood what you're saying, so we'll save time.
But the
Geshe-la thinks that, you know, I mean, it depends upon this other person, that of course we need to have a lot of patience to deal with this person. And if for some reason you see the possibility that through your interaction, your communication, and, you know, setting the example, if you could affect a positive change in this person a little bit, then it's good to have an interaction going on, right, rather than avoiding this person completely. But if for some reason you don't see a chance at all, this is really affecting in any way this person after a good period of time, then maybe I think the only thing is we just focus on our own sense of patience. We don't lose our patience and virtues, good qualities. So we might stay kind of keep a distance, you know, from the person. So it depends, you know, on those factors. Of course, I mean, because we need to really be a good example for that person, you know, we can't lose our temper and retaliate against the person, you know, and that's not going to help in any way. But at the same time, we don't want to lose our, you know, sort of a sense and sensibility and our good things, but trying to help the other person, if this is really not working at all for some practical reason, then we have to be, how should I say, honest and think, you know, trying to protect our own practice and action, you know, so that we don't get negatively affected by that person. Instead of helping the person, now, you know, we get changed in a negative way. We don't want that either. Hello, yes.
Along with analyzing, along with meditation, is there also about emptiness? It can get very dense. I'm just wondering if there's any other thoughts
or other thoughts Geshe-la has about integrating that daily. Oh, you mean
the view of
emptiness into life? Okay. Along with the analyzing, of course, and the okay, sure. Okay. The Quran is kind of shared, the Chiba Chia, the Tonga Nikol, the Shiraki, Kojin Konyo, the Antagonis, Sabushu Chagos, Taina, Namu Mizikia, the Nalia, the Tonga Niko, the Rwa, Suji Mizinalia, the K, and the Kalumna, or was it a community? It's Tonga Niko, the Angel Chiba Chia, Cambridge.
Yours. Maranzo, Miki Toyata, Anju Koyata, Ronyoyata, Titsoyata, Arjale, and then Samalo.
You know, as a matter of fact, that we, whatever we do in our everyday life, because basically we are dealing with five sensual objects, right? We see things, we hear things, you know, we taste stuff and all of the things. So all these objects, sensual objects, could be analyzed, and we can bring the view of emptiness into this. So as we experience these sensual objects, you know, we need to remind ourselves that all these things are happening as a result of interaction between causes and conditions. You know, nothing is really, coming on its own, you know, or objectively, because things have been brought about by so many other factors and conditions that are interacting with each other, and that's how things are produced. The things we hear, things we see, things we taste, things we touch, whatever, all of that. You know, so as we kind of analyze that how things have been brought about by causes and conditions, interaction, then we know that, well, there isn't anything in this which exists independently in and of itself. You know, things are, you know, how to say, dependent upon many other factors. So that's why relativity, you know, plays out here. Nothing is fixed and static and independent, you know, in and of itself.
No, everything.
So as a matter of fact, nothing exists in and of itself, because all phenomena are dependently existent. Either they are dependent upon other causes and conditions, or they are related to one another. You see, there's that relativity connection with another. There isn't anything that is, you know, independent, you know, in and of itself. So Kishore is saying that in everything that we face in our life, and everything, you know, we encounter in everyday life, everything is dependently arisen, you know, related with something else. And, you know, as you heard Kishore use the words babysitter and, you know, babies, you know, and that itself is dependent, right? The babysitters, you know, and the babies that they take care of, and whatever the things they're teaching the babies, you know, and the material or the subject or the toys they play with, everything that we, you know, find within this conditioned existence. They exist, you know, depending upon other causes and conditions. So the point I'm trying to make here is, doesn't matter whatever we're doing, standing, sitting, sleeping, walking, eating, you know, talking, you know, everything we can think about, analyze, understand about emptiness, because everything is a product of so many causes and conditions and related with other stuff. Another important thing that we always try to cultivate awareness of is the impermanence, right? How things are transitory or impermanent. But then when we compare impermanence with emptiness, there's a big difference, because we will not find impermanence on every phenomenon, okay? Whereas we find emptiness on every phenomenon. Everything that exists ultimately is empty of inherent existence, but everything that exists is not impermanent, you
know.
So when we talk about phenomena which are defined as object of knowledge, sheja in Tibetan, they can be broadly be categorized into two types. One we call produced phenomena or impermanent phenomena, and then we have the unproduced phenomena or permanent phenomena.
Okay, last.
Unreasonable to want a child to, for example, set steel, or even to be able to follow directions when you tend to be reasonable and level-headed, but they have the other parent has another ruling for the child. So, and the product is an unruly child. How does one help the child to be on the right path?
Okay. Quran can share this is the one. Pugu Chongda War, okay. So, the Pugu Pena Chongda, the Tango, which is the Karinese, Kuma Mago, the Tango Shamasa, in a time Pugu the Mission, like the Yoroa, the Shambad and Degi Benapama in the Karinese, Puyan, Kuma Gune Kuju, the Chede in Arwa, and Pugu the Dejik Sango Lamlia, Chiyong that were condition worse. Sandaki, because of this one again, Nyambe, New Dikabina, Pugu the Susango, brought to the Pasosma.
So, see Pugu.
Are you talking about, like, he say, one's own child, that you try to raise it very, how should I say, I mean, a positive way, but then the child goes, of course, into the society, and they interact with other parents and stuff, then they learn something negative, and how to bring that child into positive way, that's what we're talking about?
The other parent.
Within the same family.
One parent has one father. Oh, one father, yes, okay. Okay, that's a tug of war. Baba Amani, Rwa Chigi Sambo Chikyong Dachse, Rwa Chigi Nye Bachur Chidu Gal, Dabu Gudi Kandes Chie Sambo Chikyong Dachse, Baba Amani, Kardin Chigi Dozi.
The football Jeju Amani Sti.
I think you should say they shouldn't play the tug of war, you know, like that.
That there is, eh? That is Kuni. Google the Kayo Manas. How many of the Santangres? Kaji Shakers, Paj, Kisan Shakers.
Okay, so I think in this case it's the time for the mom and dad to talk with each other. Because the child has nothing to do with this, because the adults should figure it out, you know.
Dictionary, Yahoo, Dictionary, Dictionary, Ninga, Kodu Yoruba. Stop how many of the Chini. Bena Ali Tambu do singing in an associate Lumbaki. But the Tungo in the Mudde. Korani, Mini, Gazani, Nihiava, the Karishiava, the Tung, the Tung, the Tilin Rogers.
So Gisela says, you know, because the child hear both stuff, right? Mom of the daddy, this is good thing, and the mom of the daddy, this is bad thing. So that's, you know, child hears both sides. So the two adults, I just use the mom and dad, but it could be anybody. Two adults who are taking care of the child need to talk, communicate, and, you know, solve, resolve, right? They each should try to justify what they are teaching the child. You know, why is that the case? Is that in accordance with the, you know, rules and regulations or the, you know, ethics and all the stuff? Yeah.
So when they're divorced and they're talking in a classroom.
That's the Sazam Pakajes and Sidugal and the Kabul Shores and the Kajes and
the Demaris. The Demaris in there. Who would the end soon
youngers? Yes, I understand that, you know, difficult situations. The parents or the adults are divorced, and, you know, but who the child is staying with, you know, maybe that person, you know, has, I think, this sort of thing, it has more sort of responsibility to bring the child properly. Geshe-la feels that whoever is raising the child in a divorced case, now because of the intimacy you have developed and the closeness you have developed with the child, maybe what you say might impact more with the child, whoever that person is, you know.
So they mean that, go, then, lam logo thing is that, do trim then gear the Google and those with this, thama tango is, chang tango is, and the social share, kitchen, marriage, and the thing you do, no, that thing is saying it, Thomas in the thing you are the inner, Pame Pama, the grandparent, you are.
Consider the So I think if two adults are not really communicating with each other, I think the point is we're trying to make sense. We need to bring the third independent body, and that could be grandparents, you know. If the other person who is giving the wrong advice to the child, and some example Keshala says, you do the drugs and you do the whatever, the things, you know, crazy stuff, and you try to talk to the other person and this is not working out, maybe it's the time to talk to his or her grandparents or the parents, you know, who have so much influence on this person, you know. So we need to bring the third independent body to intervene in this case. So basically, I mean, in your face-to-face encounter, so each of the two people have the layout what they have been teaching the child. You know, you have been teaching all this yogi stuff and what heck reason he or she has. You know, why you say do the drugs and I'm not going to say that other stuff. Okay. And that person has to provide the rationale why that's a good thing to teach the child, you know, and then you just provide your rationale why you are trying to bring the child in the way you think it is a good way to bring, you know. Well, I see it is not easy, and there is no easy way out, but I mean, what else are left with us? We have to just find a way, whatever way we could, to talk and to communicate and to bring the third person and, you know, do whatever we can. So I think maybe this is Geshe-la's advice concerning that, because what Geshe-la feels is like in the case of parents divorce, each of them should not badmouth about the other to their children. You know, should not poison the ear of the child. You know, your mom or your dad is don't just poison the ear of the child. That's really bad. So I mean, ultimately it's the responsibility of the both parents, to give good education to that child. They are divorced, okay, that's their issue, but, have still the responsibility to educate the child well and to think about the well-being of the child, So both parents really need to put their heads together in that regard.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to stop there again, hold for a second. I have some announcements to make and then have a prayer request for one person. First announcements, let me see, where are we right now? Wednesday, November 23rd. So November is over? Okay.
November
14th. Oh, come from November 14th. All right. Thank you. November 14th, Monday. Tomorrow, Geshe-la is giving refuge vows in the evening, 7:30. That means people who have never taken refuge vows, and if you would like to, right, you make your decision and would like to participate in that, so you're welcome. Tomorrow evening, 7:30, Geshe-la will be giving refuge vows to new students and who want to, it says, renew their vows, if you have broken your vows. All right. November, okay, so I don't have to worry about, do I need to worry about 23rd November? Okay. Let's skip that part. December 9, Friday, is the introduction to fasting retreat. Depending on what's Nyungne. Nyungne is to fast. Okay, it's a fasting retreat practice. Many of you might have done it. December 9, Friday evening, 7:30, Geshe-la will give an introduction. And this should be good for new students, who don't know what the heck is Nyungne or Mungne, whatever that thing is hearing. So Geshe-la will explain what is involved in that, and that will be very nice. And then Saturday, the next day, December 10th, Nyungne retreat, the fasting retreat, it begins at 6 a.m. in the morning. Okay? That means before the sun, you know, day breaks, Geshe-la has to give, Mahayana precepts and like that. So you have to be here at 6 in the morning. It's a whole day practice. You will be going home only in the evening. And I'm just adding it, this stuff here. For new people, otherwise you think it's only 2 hours. No, you're just here for the whole day. And then December 11, which is Sunday, again, it's the second day of the Nyungne retreat. You will come at the same time, 6 in the morning. It's the whole day practice. Okay. And then December 12, Monday, will be the conclusion of the Nyungne practice. So in the morning, you will meet here at 6, you do one session of practice, and then Geshe-la will release the vows, and then, you know, that's the conclusion of the Nyungne practice. Okay, so Nyungne is a fasting retreat, and it's related with Buddha of Compassion, Avalokiteshvara, or Chenrezig. Okay. So the dates are Friday, December 9, introduction at 7:30, December 10 and 11, Saturday and Sunday, meet at 6 here, whole day practice. December 12, Monday morning, meet here at 6, do one session of practice, release the vows, and probably we will have a light breakfast here, I assume. If not, just you can call Santa Barbara, I'll send some pizzas for you. And that will be the end of the retreat. Okay, and then a prayer request. One of our students, Grandma Tran Thi Lui, died in Vietnam, so has requested prayer for her.
Yes, sir.
저도 그
By the power of our collective marriage, may Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness, flourish throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great realized and holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual goals. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Last but not least, we dedicate our collective positive energy for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration to nirvana or liberation, obscuration to omniscient state, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Senor,
I think you will find this information on the website under the calendar, okay? TDL website, I mean.